Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. We got open phones. All four lines are open. So give us a buzz. You can talk to us today. Anything on your mind? Mike Pence in the presidential race. So sometimes we've been talking about the national body politic and what Republicans are doing about their albatross by the name of Mr. Donald Trump. But we can talk about local topics, too, if there's something on your mind. This haze of smoke that's overhead is really being brought up and talked about these days. So we can discuss that or anything else on your mind. Give us a buzz. 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. Lynn Hall, our fabulous producer, is on the other side of the glass, so we appreciate her taking good care of us always. Our telephone number, 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WDKOK. You can email us at onthemark@wdkok.com and text us at 70236 and include the keyword OTM, and our show is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, so we'd love to hear from you. So let's see. Since we last spoke, Chris Christie got in it, and Mike Pence got in the race. I believe somebody else is joining the race. I forget who. Somebody is also getting involved in the GOP side of the presidential race.
I'm announcing my candidacy today.
Okay.
As long as old guys are allowed in the race, I might as well join in.
Well, you're almost 80. our current president's older than you, and he's running for re-election.
Right.
So if he can do it, anybody can. So,
well, I think
more power to you.
It'll be very interesting with Chris Christie. And I mean, I think it's very fascinating, and I wasn't really aware of all the consequences, that to get on the debate stage, the Republicans are requiring something like 40,000 individual contributors to your campaign and a certain amount of money. So it's going to be hard for all these people to get all the money and all the donors they need. Of course, I don't know that there's an amount, too. I didn't hear that. I heard the number of donors they wanted.
And you have to do well in polls, too.
Yeah, right. So it's not going to be easy to get on that stage. You know, certainly Donald Trump's there, but I think the last time when there were, what, like 14 people?
Well, 16
on the
in one of the Republican debates in 2016.
I think that's what helped Donald Trump. And I really agree with Chris Christie with what he said yesterday, that they're going to have to coalesce around somebody other than Trump.
Well, and I think you have a long time for that to start to play out now that we have all the different players in. You got 7 months before the Iowa caucuses, and then you have a number of months before the primaries in most of the states continue. And as is always the case, things evolve. I mean, look where Trump was at the beginning of the primaries in 2016, you know, really not even an asterisk in the race, and then, of course, went on to win the nomination and the presidency. So the same thing things going to happen to a Chris Christie or, you know, one of these good Republicans that are in the race. You got a great bench of people that are there. And if President Biden can somehow get his message out, I talked about this a couple weeks ago. He's a successful president.
Huh.
It's just his ratings are. Well, part of it is, you know, he's unable to get his message out about.
Well, maybe if he worked more than from 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, he might be able to succeed.
Well,
he hasn't had any campaign events, Mark, so he isn't even trying to get his message out.
Well, he's got a catch 22. If you go out there on the campaign trail, you're going to trip and fall again, and somebody's
right.
going to see it. I think one more fall, and people are really going to write him off. And I think that, so therefore, you know, it's a trick. How could you go out and spread the message without leaving the basement, but in the same time, you know, tell the world that you may not agree with his accomplishments or what he wanted to do, but he's been able to do almost everything. He did what he said he would do, that he'd work in a bipartisan fashion. You know, unfortunately, it's doubled and redoubled the amount of money we borrow, and you may not agree with the things that he did, but, you know.
Well, you know what he's coming across now? He's going to try and ban gas furnaces.
Oh, is that advancing?
He wants us to get rid of stoves. Now he wants us to get rid of gas furnaces.
Natural gas. I thought this was the save all bridge fuel of all time. Well, I guess not in Joe Biden's mind.
In his mind, I think until we're all sitting there with solar-powered windmills in our backyard.
But if he's so anti-natural gas, why did he just sign a bill advancing another pipeline across West Virginia?
I don't know. Well, because he wants to keep Joe Manchin happy, maybe.
Okay, well, yeah, it's a political compromise. So that's the right answer, actually, is, you know, it's all part of a deal. And I think part of it, too, is they acquiesce to it because it's connecting existing natural gas wells to existing customers, right. So it doesn't really generate any significant interest in natural gas or things like that.
Well, I thought it was fascinating this morning when CNN was covering the fact that former Vice President Pence entered the race. One of the things they did is an video cut of Trump supporters yelling, hang Mike Pence on January 6th. So, you know, I think it's going to be awfully hard for Mike Pence to get any traction with the Trump base. You can't win. Unfortunately, you can't win the Republican nomination without them.
Well, I think Mike Pence has a core group of people that think he's a super leader, and I would say I'm in the group. You know, I think he's just a fantastic guy.
Well, he's a steady hand.
And I think, I don't agree with all of his sort of platform type of things, but I think he'd be a good leader. Unfortunately, would probably impose things that I wouldn't like. But you know, that's what if you want to get a good leader in there, you're going to have to get a good leader in there. Of course, unfortunately, we don't have any at the top of the tickets at the moment. But hopefully, President Trump will start to fade a little bit in the ratings. Because I think you're right. Republicans are going to have to realize, as primaries are underway, that he's not electable over Joe Biden again. Even if Joe never leaves the White House and only does one midday event every other day, he's still going to win over President Trump.
I still think the key to this thing is the fact that Biden has said he's going to be running for president, but he has done nothing to advance his candidacy.
He announced it.
And I think that in the end, he's probably going to withdraw. I think he's trying to avoid being a lame duck so that he can try to amass some kind of a record that somebody else can run on in the Democratic Party. And I hope and pray it's not Kamala Harris.
Well, I don't think it will be. I think the writing's on the wall that if he is going to stay in the race, he's going to have to switch vice presidential candidates, in my opinion.
I would agree.
Or somehow she's going to have to come up with an image remake, because I think she's viewed as not having done that much.
Well, what has she done? Can you name a solid achievement of hers?
No, not really.
She certainly hasn't been a good border czar. Mm-hmm. She's only been there once.
She's done some good speeches, I guess, but...
What, really?
I don't know. But, you know, it's funny how the mainstream media supposedly loves President Biden, but they won't give her the time of day.
She doesn't deserve the time of day.
Well, does Biden deserve as much favorable coverage as he gets?
No, he does not.
So, obviously, they're not making decisions based on sort of the longevity of the Biden administration if they're not covering her in a favorable way, which they are not. So, all right, well, we are enjoying open phones. We started out talking a little bit about the smoke from a distant fire. We got the presidential sweepstakes underway, and we'd love to talk to you. 570-743-9565. Lance, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey there, like, little nice clear smoky morning, huh?
Yeah, how about that?
Well, I was talking to some folks that work for marches, you know, and they take chicks up into Canada. And what they were talking about was that the cattle trucks that wanted to go up there to save cattle from being burnt up, they won't let them cross, along with a whole lot of bulldozers that would like to go up to help fight the fire. They won't let them cross. Government is not doing anything.
I guess this surprises anyone is destroy
as much of the farming as they can, like the Dutch did, you know, and to further their global greening agenda.
I'm not familiar with the Dutch abandoning farming. What is your basis for saying that?
Well, they've paid all their farmers not to grow anything.
Well, that's what we're doing here in this country.
Huh?
We're paying farmers not to grow anything.
Abandon the farm completely.
No, okay.
They did.
For what reason?
And I would say, well, they say about the nitrogen that's being used does not conform with the the global warming agenda or the climate change agenda.
So the Dutch are nuttier. The Dutch are nuttier than we are, then, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Why not? I mean, what you say that liberalism is not a mental disorder. Now, if that doesn't prove it, I don't know what it does.
Okay.
I really don't.
Well, what's their justification at the Canadian border, and what's the Dutch justification for shutting down farms?
Well, shutting down farms was the supposedly the nitrogen that is put into the air, nitrous oxide, by doing the farming that they're doing, that it doesn't fit with what they want to do. So we use nitrogen fertilizer, and even the manure is good at that. You know, putting nitrous oxide into the air.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of manure floating around.
Is that a greenhouse gas, I presume?
Yeah, a lot of greenhouse gas, but it's a climate change gas, I guess you would call it.
Okay. And what's the reason that the U.S. government won't allow heavy equipment to go to Canada to help fight fires? I'm assuming they've been invited.
The Canadian government won't let it in.
And again, the reason?
Well, I guess they want a burn down of the forest so they can rejuvenate and further their greeny agenda.
No, that's pretty. Sounds pretty thin, Lance.
Yeah.
I'm completely and 100% uninformed on this.
A very thin gruel.
You certainly know more about this than I do, but I have a feeling there's another side of the story we're not hearing there. To just turn firefighters away at the border because it doesn't advance your green agenda. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure there. Let's just say there's more to it than that. There's got to be.
Well, I don't know what it would be. Would you?
Okay, well, no.
Also,
but you called in. It's your topic. It's your topic, so we hope that you're informed on it. That's all.
Well, all the greenies want to destroy the cattle industry. They want to see those cattle up there be burnt. So that
they
can't
burn cattle.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Lance, we got you. All right, sir, thank you for calling in. Much appreciated.
Well, on a little funny part, we were talking about the horses and the tack shops and everything there this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a fellow down at Lebanon, a little tack shop, and he had a sign in there, and it said, "We put all we have on horses."
Yeah, that's funny. Good play on words. Nice. All right. Thank you, Lance. Thanks for checking in. Much appreciated. Mr. Bobby D. from Sunbury, PA. We talked politics a little bit this morning. Good morning. You're on the mark.
Yes. Good morning. As far as the presidential race, of course, candidates, I'm going to say all over the country can try to get on the bandwagon in that. But, you know, I was going to ask Joe something. You know, Joe, when you first started into the news and radio and that, was there an emphasis on covering politics or no?
There's always been.
Oh, the answer is yes. He won't step up to the mic.
No, there's always been. I mean, politics is the mother's milk of news.
Hey, also, you know, when I'm going to say you look at the advertising media, that of course the media is covering your story, and that way you're getting free airtime.
Right. Yeah. True point. Yeah. All of these guys are getting their name on the radio. So Asa Hutchinson, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and all the rest of them get their free mentions regularly in the news. No argument.
So they should be thankful for that.
They should be happy.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Hey, thanks, guys, and you all have a good morning.
Hey, you too, buddy. Thank you.
There's a number of stories on Lance's topic about Canada asking for volunteers to help fight the fires.
But you know, they turn them away because of their green agenda.
Well, that's not in any story I found. So.
Well, I told you, there's got to be more to the story than just they want the farms to burn down or something.
No, that's the Dutch.
Oh, sorry. Jeez, where's my brain? I'm blending my borders here. Dutch, Canadian, what's a diff? All right, we'll take a quick break. We would invite you to call us. More calls, more opinions, more people weighing in on these important topics. The wildfires in Canada. Apparently, the Canadian government will not let volunteers come.
With tractor, with what, backhoes?
Bulldozers, yep, and front-end loaders, bulldozers in particular, go up there to help fight fires, so, because it does not advance their green agenda. So, to be continued. All right, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236, include the keyword OTM.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Christopher Cross?
Hey, sounds like him.
No.
No, not
nope, she
Cross?
Says no. She'll tap it onto the screen. She'll
Dan
tell
Fogelberg.
Where's my brain? Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, Dan Fogelberg, Eric Weisberg, and all that sort of thing. All right, 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. We are enjoying an open phones now. We've got about 9 minutes left. We've got four open lines. 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM.
We have a story that we didn't get to, but a Pennsylvania restaurant, this is from Brian Linder at Penn Live, and it was the other day, where he wrote about a Pennsylvania restaurant is having a rough time on social media after it recently served a woman her blackened chicken panini with a side of a racial slur. It all began after a woman in Duncansville said she picked up an order from the Aviation Inn and found the slur. It reportedly read N-word chick. You can figure that one out. He's describing the woman as the N-word chick.
On the bill or
on
something?
On the bill, on the order. On the order. Printed on her receipt, and it sounds like it just kept getting worse from there because the woman said that when she called to speak to the manager about the incident, Alan Butterball told her an employee had written that as the description as a joke. The Aviation Inn, in a sense, issued an apology on Facebook for the inappropriate language that was used on an order sent to our kitchen today. The staff member has been reprimanded for his behavior. Here's where it really gets interesting. The restaurant posted on its Facebook page, "We have never and ever will condone discrimination of any form based on color, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation. We have worked for over the last 10 years of ownership to create a culture of diversity in this establishment. It's our hope that forgiveness can still be found in our society today as we all work together in our communities to stop hate of any kind." The statement continued, "Please accept our sincere apology, and we look forward to continuing to serve you." The restaurant, of course, has since turned off comments on the post. The woman identified as Cassie said she said the owner told her that the employee told him, and this is a quote, "He's not a racist, so he could do that, justifying it by saying he hangs out with minorities, so he's a brother." But Butterball told the station that he was blown away by the incident. "Completely blown away, and my first thought is, this is crazy. This is absolutely not good. This is terrible." Why would you do something like that?
I don't know. You know, this is the kind of thing you do. It can only end badly, as they say. So I just think the fact that... well, it's certainly insensitive, you know, to use that, especially if the customer's going to see it. That's the terrible part about it.
You know? Well, to say that you could do it because you're a brother, you hang out with minorities.
Well, maybe that's true. I don't know. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's suppose it is a joke. It's not funny.
No, it's not funny.
You know, it's, I don't know. But, you know, the N-word folks say, well, why can they say it and we can't? So maybe it's part of that whole
Well, really,
shtick.
Wouldn't all you need be the table number of the person who was sitting there? Or the, you know, the seat at the counter?
Starbucks takes your first name. That's how you're identified, is by your first name. If there's two of you, you become Joe 2. And they spell it 2-0-0 for the first one. If there's three of you, they say there's a couple of two-trees. Trader Joe's. So.
But now the restaurant is complaining that they've been getting calls and phone threats, so many messages via Facebook coming out, and they're calling that borderline harassment.
Borderline?
They're being harassed.
Well,
and they don't think what they did to that woman was harassment, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's... I'd go to the nearest mirror before I'd complain about doing something offensive in our community. All right, Dan from New Berlin, always good to hear from you, sir. Good morning. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I'll make my vote on the record. I figured that, as Mom always taught me, the proof of the pudding is in the taste. And we had a man run this country for 4 years that did the best job that I ever seen to bring America back to her common sense. To what we were founded to be, a place of freedom, a place where the people weren't taken away, tried to take away your freedom and weapons, and a place that honored life.
Dan, do you have anything new to add to your slavish devotion to Donald Trump?
So I mean,
you've said those things before.
Yeah, well, you have anything to add? Do you guys put in Trump down every day and putting Biden up?
No, I'm not putting Biden up.
Biden did nothing.
I don't think Biden is anywhere near the best president we've ever had. He's pretty darn near the worst, in my opinion, so we're hardly putting him on a pedestal.
You guys have no objectivity.
We don't.
It's an opinion
Biden
show.
Would have done the job, if Biden would have done half the job that Trump done, you could put him, you have every right to put him up, and he may have some justification to run again. To me, he's a nothing good for this country whatsoever, except destroy everything that, Trump did. Trump, I don't care if you say I'm a Trump fanatic, I'm just going on the record.
Well, Dan,
the man means I never even know much about the man until he became president.
Well, Dan, you are a Trump fanatic. That much we could easily stipulate, but that's all right. This is an opinion
show.
You're
allowed.
So partisan opinions is what you are going to hear.
But I'm right.
Well, yeah, no kidding.
I'm
so am I.
Absolutely 100% right on what Trump done for America. No one, unless they have rocks in their head, can deny that Trump was good for America.
Yes, the wonderful job he did with the vaccines and the virus, which you believe he should have not done. The wonderful.
Well, he caved there. Said yesterday he caved a little on that, and I don't overlook that. But the good he done far outweighs the vaccine. The so-called vaccine, he might have not knew what I knew, that it wasn't really a vaccine. It was called a vaccine. But I overlooked that. For what the great good he done, so, I think he got tuned in on the vaccine, by the way, by us.
He didn't know what Dan, you said he didn't know what you knew, perhaps. How would he not have known what you know? I mean, he is the President of the United States.
He knew he.
And how did you find out something he didn't know?
He bought your media line that you promoted that it was a vaccine. You guys said that all the time. You called it a vaccine. You still do. It wasn't a vaccine. The government had to change their designation of a vaccine to call it that. And Trump, he didn't. He can't know everything. I know he's a genius. I know he's a living genius, but he can't know every little detail. And at that time, I think he felt locked in. He had to go along with the establishment on that.
I thought he was against the establishment.
Yeah, that's
he
just
was
the
turning upside
opposite
down.
Of
mostly,
everything.
Yeah, mostly. But boy, he was between a rock and a hard. And I know.
Well, then so much for his leadership ability. So much for his leadership ability. He can't even stand up to a few scientists.
Well, I mean, guess the whole media, everybody And I only know of two radio stations in our area that stood up against the vaccine. And I'm not talking about the one at Danville. They suckered right into it. They went right along with it. But there was a Christian radio station near me here that stuck up. So they didn't promote the lie about the vaccine. And an oldie station, which you probably, there is only one true oldie station anymore, and they didn't fall into line.
It's the one true
oldie
station.
But that's about it. The rest of you guys, you went right along with the whole lie.
And, of course, we were wrong, and you were right again. Every time you call, Dad, you're always saying you're right.
I was right on the vaccine. I'm not the only one. I couldn't know all this alone without doctors.
Fair enough. Thank you, Dad.
You guys take care, and we'll get some people to call in.
Yep. Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Yep.
Always glad
you
to
have
hear.
A good day.
Hey, you too, buddy. All right, the one true caller from New Berlin. That's him.
The one true oldie station.
Right. My lovely bride goes to the one true church. So do you.
Yes.
So, all right, you're listening to WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Meth Esther Joe. It's funny. Joe almost took over, gave up volcanoes and took up distant wildfires at FEMA. And finally, at the last minute, he said, no, I'll stick with volcanoes. And boy, what a good decision.
It was. I can deal with a volcano. The wildfires are much harder to
deal with. Yeah, especially because you're finding out that you did go up to the border to help out and they wouldn't let you through.
I took my bulldozer up and they said, go away.
Turn your way.
Yep, turn me away.
Okay, well, that just goes to show no good bulldozer goes unpunished or something like that. So, all right. So we would invite you to call us. A wildfire smoke still blankets the area, made for a very interesting sunrise today and a fascinating sunset and a nice moonscape with the blood moon continuing into the month. And so that's very interesting. But, of course, it's all because of wildfires that are out of control in Canada. And this is going to continue for a couple of weeks. When we get rain, the air will get clean, but then it'll get hazy again, and then there'll be certain times when the wind direction will take it elsewhere, but we're due for this, at least the smell of it for a time, and some stronger smoke visibility today. So be aware of that. Individuals who are elderly, I love the Department of Health says people who are elderly. What do you say about elderly, Joe?
I say it's a condition of your mind.
Right. There's no such actual definition.
As you well know, I always hated a news story that said an elderly woman. You know, you describe elderly. Just say a 75-year-old woman, an 85-year-old woman. Let the audience decide if she's elderly.
Right. My father still says that. He's 101. He says if you call him elderly, he'll whack it with his cane.
Don't blame him.
So, all right. So, anyway, so elderly is an actual physical category from the Department of Health. Individuals with compromised breathing apparatus, and that would be individuals with asthma or significant allergies listed there. Eye burning and trouble breathing are common with this particular smoke. And young people, ultra young infants struggle because of the smoke, they say. So be careful overexerting yourself in the out-of-doors during this time. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, please do as I've done on many occasions and will continue to do so, sunburymotors.com. Our phone number is 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Always include the keyword OTM. Route 192 closed near Mifflinburg this morning because of a crash that happened around 5:30 this morning. A tractor-trailer sheared a pole. PennDOT and utility crews on the scene at that closure. That will reopen, but there's already a construction zone out there. That will continue. PennDOT also said they were going to work on the Veterans Memorial Bridge today between Sunbury and Shamokin Dam, but that work has been postponed. A Danville man's been captured. Police say he was a fugitive after he rammed his truck into a police cruiser and accelerated toward an officer. Shamokin police tell us U.S. Marshals captured Jarrett Castellonia Monday. He was in Fredericksburg, Virginia at the time. Local police tell us it was May 24th. He ran his truck into a police car multiple times, were trying to escape and sped directly towards an officer. That's what he's facing a charge of, criminal attempt to commit murder of a law enforcement officer. Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project has an event coming up for business leaders around here.
Our community college is going to be a bottom-up model, and what I mean by that is that we are going to work in partnership with the business community to develop curriculum, to develop programs. We're not going to come out and say, okay, this is what we're offering, and take it or leave it. We're going to say, what do you need?
Dr. Carl Jensen, one of the board members of the Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project. The new community college will hold their business leaders forum Friday, June 19th. You are invited if you are a business leader around here. As we talked about, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says the country is going to heck in a handbasket, so he's running for president.
If you had asked me a year ago whether I would be up here to talk to all of you about the future of our country and where we would go, I probably would have said to you, you know, life's pretty good in New Jersey, and I think I'll stay down here.
He is now officially in the race, and Mike Pence officially got in the race today as well. So we have two new good Republicans running in the presidential ticket. Let's see. Here we go. Gas prices are going down, but will go back up. AAA's national average fell a couple of pennies Tuesday to $3.54 a gallon, but they say Saudi oil barons have cut production, so gasoline prices expected to rise by midsummer. And finally, there's new research that says sleeping in the same bed ruins a marriage. Scientists in the UK tracked 15,000 couples and found the ones who slept in separate beds got better sleep, were healthier, happier, and less stressed than the ones who shared a bed with a snoring or fidgety partner. And they found one option that works if you're going to sleep together with your spouse: staggering bedtimes by at least 90 minutes accomplishes almost the same thing as sleeping in separate bedrooms. So, Joe, you're going to have to go to bed, not now, 90 minutes before your lovely bride, okay? Well, we do that at our house. I'm sound asleep by 9 p.m.,
yeah,
right? So she stays up. All right, 570-743-9565 is the telephone number. Thank you for calling in and wading through the headlines. Good morning, sir. Mike from Bloomsburg, you're on the mark.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know, the most common statement I hear people say is, I've never seen anything like this before. Well, what comes to my mind was growing up in the Susquehanna Valley in Williamsport area, when it was still an industrial city.
Mike, yes. you might want to tell us what it is you're talking about.
Oh, the fire.
Okay.
Smoke. I didn't know there was anything else being talked about.
Okay,
I'm
yes,
sorry. Yeah. No, my mistake.
That's okay. Go ahead now. Now that we know where you're coming from.
Yeah, like I said, the most common thing I hear people saying is, I've never seen anything like this before. And growing up in the Susquehanna Valley in the Williamsport area, when it was still an industrial city, there was, you know, days in a row in the summer where you didn't see the sky because of the smog, you know, or whatever you want to call it, smoke, you know, from the incinerators and the factories and what have you. And then in China in 1992, I had to take a carry-on for 2 weeks. That's all I took with me. And I'll tell you what, I didn't see the sun, the moon, the sky, anything for 2 weeks when I was there. And some of the other people in my group, they were like in agony, their eyes, their throat, their nose. I threw away all those clothes when I got back to the United States. I mean, it was just, you know, it was really disgusting. But the point I want to make is forest fires are very common. In history, here in the United States, there was a great fire in 1871. I believe it's called the Peshtigo Fire, and it's believed to have killed well over 2,000 people, okay, in one night, basically. You know, it was almost like a nuclear bomb. Once it got off, going, it just fed itself. There were strong winds created by the fire itself, and it killed. And this was in 1871, so, you know, there wasn't that many people, but it killed, you know, probably over 2,500. But anyway, I think the thing that we're missing, especially in California and out west, where people are moving out of the cities and into the woods, is forests are like anything else. They have to be managed. And I'm not saying managing what you have up there in Nova Scotia could have prevented this, because that is such a vast region. But here in the United States, we need to manage our forests just like we manage our rivers. You know, people would not live next to rivers if they got flooded every 10 years, okay? But there's things called dikes and dams that we use to manage our forests, and there's technique, or our rivers, and there's techniques that can be used to manage forests. But basically, these days, with the environmental laws and the environmentalists that fight every little thing, you're not going to be able to do that. So I tell you what, I would not buy a house, you know, like in California in the woods, or Washington State, or any of those areas that are subject to, you know, having forests just growing and growing and out of control, and you're not allowed to clear the undergrowth, and they're not allowed to cut fire roads, and they're not allowed to harvest dead trees. It's just a recipe for disaster. And every time, you know, we have cyclical droughts, that's what looks like what we're going to see now here in the east, if we're not, you know, if we don't get lucky and get some rain. We're having a cyclical drought, and you're going to have fires, and you have to live with them, but you have to do what you can to prevent them, unless you want to have catastrophes. And that's really all I want to say. I think people need to understand that when you have forests and you live near them, you're going to have forest fires, and people are going to die unless you take the actions necessary to minimize those deaths. And it makes sense to me, but unfortunately it doesn't make sense to many of my friends on the left.
Well, and I'm going to echo some of your comments. My daughter lives in Oregon, and I'm trying to effect a visit out there at some point this summer. And she says, well, try to get out there in June, because once the fire season starts in July, you'll have a smoky haze most of the time. So try to get here before fire season. And then I texted her, and I said, sent her some pictures of some overhead pictures of this area yesterday. And she said, oh, quit your whining. This is what we call summer out here, you know, so... it's the same thing, only different in terms of what she's used to. And so, yeah, and it's funny how people talk about managing the forest. We talked to a district forester after that fire this week, and that, you know, limited controlled burns are important, and you do have to manage the forest if you are going to live next to or in the forest. Otherwise, you're going to have problems from time to time, because we're trying to live next to, you know, an ultra tinder dry undercarriage. Of course, we have about an inch and a half inch rainfall deficit around here, but it's at a crucial time when we really need it before absolutely everything is greened up.
Oh, without a doubt, we're having, well, I would call it peak incoming solar radiation, but basically we're at the point where the sun is beating down the hardest on the ground. And I don't know that much about that Shade Mountain, but what I understand, there was a lot of areas that were defoliated by the gypsy moss, and the sun came, you know, beating right down onto the dry leaves underneath, and that's one of the things that contributed to that. Is that what you guys heard?
We did talk to the forester. He did not mention that. He just talked about normal conditions. I know they're bracing for gypsy moths that are significantly more prevalent this year, but he did not talk about it already having an impact. But it could very well be. It
might have been a kid with a magnifying glass.
It very well, and I can tell. I mean, you know, when you're a kid, things happen, and unfortunately, the group I was in, something got a little bit out of control, and it wasn't really a forest fire; it was more of a underbrush fire. But the police and the firemen had to come and put it out. You know, it was just one of those things where a gust of wind came along when you're a little kid and you don't expect it. But you know, fortunately, there was really no major catastrophe or anything like that. But, yeah, things can happen. And your daughter that lives out there in, you said Oregon, right, Mark?
You're right, Eugene.
Oh, gosh, it'd be wonderful if we had a guest that could come in here and talk about that situation, because what she's saying is what I'm hearing. I have a friend in Washington that tells me the same thing. And basically, it's because the environmentalists have prevented putting fire roads in. They have prevented... clearing undergrowth and harvesting the dead trees, you know, that are killed by either a blight or insects or something like that. And it's just really a shame that we live like this, because I believe that the forest can be, you know, just as healthy if you were to manage them. Because everybody knows if you let things grow out of control in your garden, gardens don't do very well. If you let everything grow out of control in your forest, I don't believe they're going to do well either. So it makes common sense that if we're going to live here on Earth, we need to do practical things and take the precautions necessary.
No, we really need to. All we really need to do is follow the advice of Smokey the Bear.
Don't burn outdoors. Well, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. Yeah, as Mike adequately explained, half the dangerous fires in the world were started by kids who had a magnifying glass or a match or one firecracker and moved on to the next area to have their fun and looked back and everything was on fire.
Some arsonists too. You never know, really, until the investigation.
That's true.
Joe, I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of these fires now are started by forest fires because with all the information out there, people know what the conditions are, they know which way the winds are blowing, and they know that if they start the fire, guess what? They're getting to see that on TV and being talked about on national news and what have you like that. It's a dangerous world. I don't want to take any more of your time, men.
Thank you.
I appreciate the open air. And get that daughter to call in. It would be wonderful to hear from somebody from Oregon.
All right. Thank you,
take
sir.
Take care, Mike.
All right. Upper right-hand corner, Joe, and then we'll take the break.
Doug says, it's all right, Dan. You may as well give up on the media or anyone else, including Mark and Joe, admitting that they were wrong on the so-called vaccine. Every day, more and more is coming out about how harmful the shot is and was, but many refuse to hear it. There are more doctors speaking up about the harms, but the media and many politicians can't admit they were wrong after saying that the unvaccinated should basically be banned from society. He has his ears plugged, folks. After all the talk in the past 3 years about listening to the science has now proven that those who questioned what we've been told were in fact correct to question all of it. You can stop now.
Okay.
I'm done reading it.
You done?
Yes, I'm
Thank
done
you.
Reading
can...
it. So you obviously are playing right into Doug's
comment. Hey, it worked when I was a kid. Oh, yeah. Doug has his fingers so firmly in his ears and his, la, I can't hear you, just as loud as everybody else out there. So,
well,
to the nearest mirror, Doug.
Look, all I could tell you, Doug, is I didn't get COVID, and I got the vaccine, 3 shots.
Well, it isn't a traditional vaccine. They're 100% clear about that. It's not what we used to get
so
antibodies.
What do we call it? If it's not a vaccine, is a preventative,
know.
A prophylactic?
Well,
we take it, and then hopefully it's going to keep us
I think
from...
Dan has a point, though, when you say, well, they changed the definition of vaccine to fit the latest product. That's a little quirky in Washington. All right, to be continued. Harry, I know you want to go. We got to hit the button here. We'll be right back, but stand by, sir.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. 3 dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show.
I'm going to stick my fingers in my ears now.
Joe.
Not because of you, not Harry.
No, because of our clipping that we have.
Right.
Okay, we got a CBS News clipping. We're going to read that in a moment. But Harry's been very patient, so go ahead, sir. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'd like to come to the defense of Dan for a minute or two. I'm not as unabashed a supporter of Trump as he is, although I did vote for him both times. As I stated earlier in the week, I voted more against the people he was running against than I voted for him, although I thought he did a good job as president. But the one thing I did want to defend Dan on is I agree with him on the vaccine, his vaccine stance. I did not have the shot, and I did not get COVID. So that makes me no different than you, Joe, who had the 3 shots. And it wasn't really a vaccine. It was a series of flu shots, basically. And I base it on the fact that nobody who had the polio vaccine got polio. With without having to go through a whole series of shots. But for me, what I look at too is, you know, I have everybody tell me, oh, because I didn't get it, I was selfish or put other people at risk. In my job, I was probably around over the last 3 years, I have been around every week of the year, anywhere from probably 3,000 to 4,000 people a week.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody was vulnerable for that, I think that would have been me. I had people from other states. I was in other states. During that time, we took a trip out west, drove from here all the way out to New Mexico, down through Texas, back up through the Carolinas and back home. I mean, you know, we saw a good portion of the country. By still living and not giving up and hiding and bunkering down, we still survived.
Well, you know, you could say that's just good luck. I mean, obviously, you know, somebody.
You could say the same thing if you got the shot.
Right? Yeah, Joe didn't say that he didn't get it because of the shot. He just said he didn't get it, and he happened to have had the shots, and he's, you know, probably better off for it. That's, you know, that's true for me too.
I guess, but to automatically dismiss people or to disparage what they believe with it, and I'm not saying you did. What I'm saying is, in many, many forms of what's going on through this, if you haven't gotten it, you were callously disregarding human life. I don't think so. Okay.
Yeah, Harry, I don't think so. I don't think you're thinking of others enough during the week. You should think of others more.
Right. Listen, Harry, I can agree with part of what you're saying, and I hope I never faulted anybody who chose not to take it. I thought they were making a mistake. I still do. I think it was the right thing to do because, you know, you don't want to give. I didn't want to give it to anybody else. I didn't want to take a chance on getting it and passing it around. And since apparently there were people who could get it and display no symptoms, I would rather take the chance of getting the vaccine in the hope that I didn't cause anybody else any problem. Same reason I wore a mask. I didn't think it would protect me personally. I thought it was probably a waste of time, but I did it because I thought I would be respectful to others.
Joe misunderstood the masking rules. He wore a Halloween mask for a while until he realized it was a cloth.
Yeah, my Freddy Krueger mask.
Right.
Was that wrong?
It didn't help.
No, it didn't help. Okay.
No. You know, I wore the mask because it was mandated, especially at work I had to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so I understand what you're saying there. But you know, the thing, I don't know. I guess you have to look at the fact, too, that what some of us, and I can speak for myself, I can't speak for what everybody thought. I look at medications for cancer and AIDS and all kinds of things that go through stringent 10-year plans. 10-year clinical testings. Some get passed, some don't get passed, but there's never a shortcut taken on allowing them to pass. And then we had one that was, you know, 3 months in the making, and everybody's saying, oh, it's safe.
Well, now
then you have people saying, no, wait. You have people saying, oh, well, they've been working on this vaccine for years, but yet what they were doing the vaccine about was for what was called a novel virus, a new virus, something they had not seen before. So therefore, that argument is not true. You could not have been testing for something that you had never seen before. That's not possible.
Well, I just to clarify, we've talked about this a lot, and a lot of people don't want to admit it, but the research on this type of a vaccine, this mRNA vaccine, started a decade ago and was continuing. And what they do is they build a base of a vaccine-type product based on a DNA footprint, and then it's like putting a foundation on a house. Once you have the foundation built, you can put whatever you need to on the top, and it'll work as well. Like on your car engine, your engine block will be the same, but you can put a different carburetor on. And like this vaccine, they put different DNA markers on the top. But it wasn't a medicinal type of situation. It was it's an RNA marker that gets your immune system to recognize what this new virus is going to look like. And so it's very adaptable, and it's tremendous progress that started a long time ago. And so what they did with this was they just adapted it to the new COVID that was out there, the novel coronavirus, and adapted it, and that's why it worked. But the research began a long time ago. It wasn't tested for just 3 months. It had already been proven and tested and used for a long time, and it still went through the same scrutiny as all vaccines go through.
But you must admit that Donald Trump made a point out saying that with Operation Warp Speed, we're going to rush this through. You know, and I can understand people being concerned about the time frame. I must admit I had some reservations about that myself. How could we possibly come up with something so quickly? But
well, what scares me is it's a gene mutation. That's basically what it is, and that scares me. So as somebody who would not want to do that until I saw
more
results from it, that's what gets me.
I don't know
if it's right, wrong, or indifferent, but that's my belief.
The vaccine's not a mutation. The virus is a mutation. Is that what you mean?
I think that the shot itself, it is not a true vaccine. It is a gene mutation.
No, that's like looking
at... That's what I believe.
That's like looking... That's a good belief, and you can have that faith, but it isn't true. It's like looking at two houses that say this, that are completely different, saying one mutated from the other. They're just completely built different than other things, but it isn't a mutation or some strange thing.
I've been called a mutant.
I don't believe in that, but then I'm also somebody... I don't take a lot of medications. I'm not somebody who lives at the doctor. I don't really, to me, I want stuff to be fully vetted and tested.
Okay.
And that's before I would ever take anything like that. And I just don't, I was not comfortable with that.
All right, Harry, we got to hit the road, but thank
Fair
you,
enough,
sir.
Fair enough, Harry. Take care, buddy.
Much appreciated. Thank you, sir.
See you later.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
All righty. Last caller before a quickie break. Go right ahead. Oh, that one's gone.
That's dial tone.
All right. Well, why don't I tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company, and then we'll take the break. But we got four open lines right now. 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@WKOK.com. And you can text us at 70236, which Joe's going to check the texts right now.
Right.
70236, include the keyword OTM. And the Sunbury Motor Company, I talked about the F-150, and I talked about the Maverick, and I talked about the F-250. And a couple of months ago, we saw down there on the Sunbury Motor Company lot, they had an F-750, dual axles, four-wheel drive, double cab. It was headed out to one of the fine local townships who had purchased it to use for snow plowing and so on. But there is another truck that we have not talked about much, and it's a goodie. It's the Ford Ranger. It is the mid-size truck that used to be small, but now it's grown up a little bit, but still not as big as an F-150. Your mileage is, if you don't try to conserve fuel, you'll average about 20 miles to the gallon. But if you are like I am and you're a high miler, you'll get it up into the 26, 27 on average. You'll hit above 30 on the highway. And in town in the dead of winter, just doing short trips, you might go into the upper teens. But it's a real truck. I mean, it can haul a lot of stuff. It doesn't have that stiff, choppy ride that some of the smaller trucks have. A 2.3-liter turbocharged engine. You can get two sets of seats or one. You can get a long bed, which is 6 foot, or one that's 5 feet. And it's just a fantastic. Of course, it's got all the Ford accoutrements that I like in the truck they have me in now, which is the sync technology that allows you to sync up your phone. So, and that's fantastic. And it gets Android Auto cooking in your vehicle. And it's just a wonderful thing. So that's the Ford Motor Company. They got a number of Ford Rangers. I saw a Maverick down there the other day. Yes, they got a couple of F-250s. So that's what I'm going to drive next, the Ranger. And we'd invite you to check one out at Sunbury Motors, sunburymotors.com.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory-trained techs take care of of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We are waiting for calls, but in the meantime, we're going to read a clipping from CBS.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Obviously, there's a judge here that's probably going to be reversed. But a federal judge temporarily blocked portions of a new Florida law on Tuesday that bans transgender teens from receiving puberty blockers, arguing that that gender identity is real. In his 44-page ruling, U.S. District Judge Robert L. Hinkle issued a preliminary injunction that focuses on three transgender children whose parents requested immediate relief from the ban. The ruling states that the minors, two 11-year-olds and one 8-year-old, can continue to receive treatment with a gonadotropin.
Just call it a puberty blocker.
Gonadotropin. I think I got it right. Gonadotropin-releasing hormone and agonists, known as puberty blockers or cross-sex hormones. Addressing what he called the elephant in the room, Hinkle countered that hints and suggestions by the defendants that transgender identity is not real, that is made up, he said. Hinkle also noted that the only defense expert who had actually treated a significant number of transgender patients agreed that gender identity exists. At least one defense expert also has admitted it, Hinkle wrote. Appropriate treatment and care have been found for the children, Hinkle wrote. The overwhelming majority of medical clinicians or dedicated professionals whose first goal is for the safe and effective treatment of their patients, and there is no reason to believe these doctors are motivated by anything else, he also wrote. There is an approved standard of care to treat trans minors, and children can suffer from anxiety, depression, and other medical conditions if they don't receive the necessary care. Hinkle also found that the parents' motivation for the lawsuit stemmed from their love for their children and the desire to achieve the best possible treatment for them. He said that is not the state's motivation. Today, my entire family is breathing a huge sigh of relief, knowing we can now access the treatment that we know will keep Susan healthy and allow her to continue being the happy, confident child she has been. Jane Doe, the mother of one of the children challenging the law, said in a written statement.
All right, we'll stop you there. But really what has happened is that this judge has said that this is medical care, that the gender identity issues and gender dysphoria is real, and it's not just some made-up thing by kids and doctors and psychiatrists and hospitals and people that have been researching this.
Well, he's
a
judge. He's not
it.
A medical professional. He just found that the evidence that he heard, he thought, tended to come down on that side.
Oh, I called him a medical. Well, that's not correct. Obviously, it's a law judge. So he throws out this Florida court. It will be appealed. But I stand on the side of parents. I think parents should be given the ultimate responsibility and opportunity to take good care of their kids if they see that. You know, and it's funny because that's a Republican ideal in every other way, except when it comes to
but
transgender treatment.
Part of the law
treatment.
Bans parents from being told if their children are in school and they want to do this. This, and at least is the parents making the decision to support what they think their children should and want to be. And that's a little bit different than having
So you're saying kids are going to school, and what happens at the school that the parents aren't told about?
If they express an interest or tell a teacher in confidence that their gender, they think they have some gender issue.
But no medical treatment.
No. Okay. Well, I mean, can they get medical treatment without parental consent?
No.
Okay.
Sorry. There's no.
I would hope not.
No
I
doctor.
Mean, there should no
that would
nobody
be the end
should
of
be
the
allowed
doctor.
To do that.
All right. So this is out there now, this idea of a judge finally injecting some common sense into the discussion, although quite a bit of editorial comments in his explanation, in my opinion. But, his science is on his side, and it's against Ron DeSantis. So, you know, and I think this is part of the reason that I think Ron DeSantis won't overtake President Trump in the polling, because he's just too anti-everything.
But I know what's interesting about this story. You know what's missing from this story? Who appointed the judge?
Oh.
If it's a conservative
opinion. It's a Democratic
judge. If it's
judge,
a conservative opinion, they always say appointed by President Donald Trump.
I think if I
but
let
if
you
it's
read
a liberal
farther,
opinion.
I think search for Obama in there. You'll find, I think he's a president, or Clinton
nope,
or Obama.
It's not there.
All right, not in that one, but it's in other versions. This is making national news. So, President Obama or Clinton was a Democratic president.
Who appointed him?
Dan, you get 60 seconds. Go right ahead.
Hey, you know, the mask that we were told to wear by our government, by our media. They didn't do one thing to do anything to prevent the spread of the COVID-19 virus. All they did was impede our breathing, so the sheeple got less oxygen. That's all the cloth mask did. The only mask that would help was the N95, would have prevented the spread of the virus. But we were told for years, till finally towards the end, they did say the N95 was the only one that worked. And I went to visit my aunt during them 3 years, and during the 2.5, I was required to wear the cloth mask, which right. I did. But right. the last 6 months, they used the N95. Well, now we don't have to wear any for the last month or two that I visit her.
All right, we got you. Thank you, sir. We got to stop you there.
So the N95 did stop the COVID-19, but not the cloth mask. The cloth mask were
just Dan, the minute is up.
All right, we got to go.
We've heard sheeple.
We got to go.
Right, we've heard sheeple 5 times, but the minute's up.
Chris, you're on the mark. Thank you so much for calling before the very last second of the show. You're on the mark.
I guess Dan's a Trump sheeple.
Yes, same, only different.
Except for the vaccine, of course. And I say also, I think Trump did was saying that the vaccine works and that he'd recommend people take it.
And he took it himself.
And he did that even when he was booed for it.
Yep. And he took he took it himself, too. Or he said he did.
Of course. He needed all the top-notch. He was actually very sick from that. They found out more since his presidency's been over about that. But he was extremely sick from it.
From the vaccine or from the disease itself?
From the COVID case.
Okay.
From his COVID case. When he got COVID. And, of course, the Republicans were spreading it at their events, too. They had some big event spreaders at the White House.
Yeah, the pandemic's not going to go down in history as President Trump's finest moment under any circumstances.
Or anybody else's. It's certainly not going to go down under New York's finest moments or maybe even Florida's. Let's face it, we were in a situation we knew nothing about.
It was my finest moment.
People made mistakes.
Finest moment.
I honestly believe that everybody involved in this tried to do what they thought was best. You know, and it's sad that there were conflicting reports, but I don't believe the government was out to turn us into sheeple and say, we want to control you.
The other thing you got to remember, too, is that the vaccine is a fast transformer, especially when it's hitting a lot of people. And so what the vaccine that originally worked became less effective against the new varieties.
You mean the virus is a fast transformer?
The virus transformer.
Yeah, right.
And so it was very effective about what the one that it was developed for, but then they had to keep adding on to it. And Dan's also wrong about other vaccines. Some took multiple shots, and some took the original 60s. Late 50s, I guess it was, vaccines for polio, for instance, were 90% effective until you took a second or third shot.
Well, remember, there were two of them. There was the Sabin vaccine, and then there was the original.
Yeah.
So,
and they both were in the 90% mark with just one shot, I believe, at first.
Actually, I think the Sabin was given in a sugar cube, if my memory serves me.
Yep, sugar cube. Yep, it was a sugar cube. We lined up and had to go down a couple times to take it at the schools. And
right.
It also was, you couldn't get it to go to school unless you had taken it, I believe.
Right. Yep, that's true.
And people went along with it in those days because people are getting smarter all the time, right?
Well, polio was something that you don't often recover from back in those days, and so I can understand why people were much more willing to line up to take it, whereas opposed to COVID, which was a really bad flu, in effect.
Well, what I really called about... Well, first of all, the Republicans' investigation of the Biden crime family They've admit they have no evidence that Biden, the President Biden, was in it at all, did anything that was corrupt, but they know he did. They said, we don't have evidence of this point, but we know he did.
But the FBI, the FBI has, Chris, the FBI has
Dan and the gang and your crazy conspiracists that call in all the time.
Yeah, but bear in
mind, they don't have any evidence, but they know it's right.
Chris, bear in mind that the FBI has not turned over the document that the committee is asking for.
You know what that document's about?
It's about a bribe that Biden allegedly took.
It's about the Burisma thing. Him going to shut down the prosecutor that the European countries wanted to shut down, the United States policy was to shut it down. The United Nations policy might even have been to shut it down, as far as I know.
Well,
but
I
in any case, he did what he was assigned to do. He didn't do it for any. He wasn't the originator of, I should go and do that. He was told to do that. That was his job as vice president. And it was because the prosecutor was not prosecuting.
Well, I don't know what's in the document because they haven't turned it over. If they turn it over, we'll find out exactly what's in it.
But the heads of the committees have both seen the document. So
well,
they know what's in the
If it
document,
doesn't show anything, I can't imagine why Comer would be trying to get it if it doesn't show anything. If he's seen it.
It's just about that Burisma rehash, which is it's all kind of farce, like all the Jordan and Comer's committee and the crime thing, and they're just trying to do it to make Trump seem better.
Well, then why?
It was really Biden who was the corrupt one, not Trump.
Why is it that the FBI then believes that this whistleblower would be in danger of his life if they identified him, if he came forward?
I don't know if they do believe
they
that.
They do. That's what they're saying. It was what part of their justification for not turning over the document?
Yeah, I think some Republicans have said that. I didn't know the FBI had said that.
That's the way I heard the story, that the FBI was reluctant to turn it over.
I heard it differently, but in any case, you might be right on that. I don't remember the details on that.
But if there's nothing in it, why would anybody want to kill him if there's nothing to the story? There'd be no reason.
Well, all it is a rehash of things he'd picked up from other people. It's not any firsthand knowledge of anything that went on.
All right,
sort
we got to hit
the Steele dossier, huh?
And
we got to hit the road, man. I'm going to stop you there, Chris.
Stop.
We got another caller, Chris. Sorry.
He wasn't impeached for the Steele dossier.
Chris, we got to go.
Was he?
Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in. I definitely appreciate it.
That's what the Republicans are doing. They want to make impeachment normal so Trump looks better.
All right. We got you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for setting Joe straight again. Much appreciated.
Well,
all right. Herbie, you are going to be our last caller before a quickie break. Thank you for your patience. Please go right ahead.
I'd like to encourage anyone of any faith to pray for rain. The crops are just emerging from the ground now, and it is dry. If we hope to have a successful summer, we need rain now. So please encourage everyone to pray for rain.
Yeah, AccuWeather says we have in the forecast 0.5 of a percent of rain, like just a trace of precipitation in the next 48 hours. So, yeah, not enough to sustain. So, yep, sound advice. All right. Anything else, Herbie?
That's it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Hey, thank you so much for listening, and thanks for calling in. Much appreciated. Yep. All right, we'll take a quickie break. 570-743-9565 is our telephone number, 570-743-WDKOK. You can email us at onthemark@WDKOK.com.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. We got a caller ready to go. Go ahead, Eric. You're on the mark.
Thank you, gentlemen. So Mr. Christie is now officially in the race. And seems to me he's the only one right now taking on the Trump faction head on, calling him a pig in a mirror or something along those lines. So here's my prediction here this early June of 2023. Mr. Christie will not get the nomination. But I think he's being put up or controlled by the RNC, knowing that former President Trump's not electable, and he's the point of their spear to perhaps illuminate the Republican populace out there as to Mr. Trump, and he will eventually get knocked out of the race. But if a Republican wins the presidential race, that he will be on some sort of high official, probably appointed position with the Republican-elect person. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, Chris, he didn't call him a pig. He called him a mirror hog.
Okay, I'm sorry. A mirror hog. I apologize.
Okay. Ought to set the record straight.
And I think it's Eric, not Chris.
I'm sorry. Well, you made a mistake. I made a mistake.
You're both all mixed up.
And I'm not looking in the mirror either, so let's be
I'm
honest
sorry,
and true. I'm not looking in the mirror either.
I'm sorry, but you know how it is. One liberal looks pretty much like the next.
Oh, now here we go. I'm giving you a little platform, Joe, to expand your thoughts on things, and you're throwing the L word around.
Well, no, I don't think. Well, in response to your serious question, I don't believe that Chris Christie is being controlled by anyone. I think that he may have, as we said at the beginning of the program, I think he's going to have a lot of trouble getting on the debate stage. I don't think he's going to be able to meet the Republican Party's qualifications. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it'll be hard for him to do that because he obviously is going to alienate much of the Trump wing of the party. And they're not likely to be contributing to his campaign, even though he is a good, solid conservative.
So I think he threw around 40,000. He has to have, is that what the, I'm not sure, 40,000 donors?
No, 40,000 donors, right. That's correct, 40,000.
So, but I mean, as I consider you more of a moderate Republican there, Joe. You don't think there's 40,000 moderates who would be appealing by what he's saying, that he's taking the gloves off against the former president and saying, hey, perhaps this is where the party needs to be going?
I think he could perform a very valuable service by taking Trump on head on, even though I don't think, to be honest with you, I'm not so certain he's very serious about winning, but I think he's serious about stopping Trump from getting the nomination. And if he does, if he takes Trump on so that the others don't have to, and the others can have their debate about issues and policy, then I think he'll be doing a tremendous service to the Republican Party and to the nation, because we'll take Trump off the center of the stage and relegate him to somewhere in the back where I think at this point is where he should be.
I'm agreeing with you. Oh, careful.
No.
As I look at myself
Darn.
In the mirror. Yeah. Because
over.
I believe, as I said before, we need to go in a different direction in this country. And I don't believe, and I think a Democratic Party needs to have someone emerge too to to take on Mr. Biden, and I've said that before as a Democrat. We got to make a change. You know, we can't just redo 2016, 2020. Now we have this person. You know,
okay, the very Eric. Definition appreciate of insanity. Call. All right, thank you so much, Eric.
Thank you, gentlemen. Take okay, bye bye now.
Much appreciated. Thank you, everybody who participated. Thank you, Lynn Hall, who carves out 90 minutes to take fabulous care of us. So we really, 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 really appreciate it. Joe's going to be back tomorrow. We're going to shoot for one of those CBS guests, so hopefully we'll get one of those lined up. But we'll be looking to hear from you, too. On WDKOK's On the Mark, this is WDKOK Sunbury.